You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. So have you ever found yourself sucked in by one of those wellness trends? Maybe you've got a Facebook friend who swears by intermittent fasting, or you've been seeing those videos that are touting the sleepy girl mocktail all over TikTok. Wellness and social media seem to go hand in hand. The question is what works, and most importantly, what's safe. We thought we'd bring a couple of those popular wellness trends to some experts and see if they can tell us what science says. Dr. Priyanka Chawla is a primary care physician at Tufts Medical, and Matt Priven is a registered dietitian and nutritionist at Oceanside Nutrition. Dr. Chawla, welcome.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Great to have you. And Matt Priven, welcome to you as well.
Hi, Tiziana. Thanks for having me.
So it's great to have you. What we thought we'd do is pick a couple of these that are really big sort of in the social sphere right now and pick them apart. And I think we'll start with this sleepy girl mocktail. I've got a little bit of sound for you on this. This is a TikTok video by Cassie Young, or Cassie Young Money, who's a contestant on Next Level Chef. And it's a sleepy girl mocktail how-to.
So the sleepy girl mocktail, 10 out of 10. Taste-wise, amazing.
I feel like it actually did work. I will say the magnesium your body has to get used to. So I'm hoping the longer I take it, the better it's going to react. But this is tart cherry juice.
Okay, what is it, Matt Priven, the sleepy girl mocktail?
Yeah, this is one I just learned about recently. So my understanding is it's a mixture of some kind of juice, like tart cherry juice, and a magnesium supplement that people, especially women, are encouraged to take before bed to help them sleep.
Okay. And any reason to think this is a good idea and works, Dr. Chawla?
So based on what we know, there are some associations with magnesium and kind of nerve functioning. It really helps with our nerves and our muscles, but there's not great evidence on its role for insomnia or sleep disturbances. So while anecdotally I've heard people using it for sleep, but be a little careful. She mentioned something about getting used to it, which is probably alluding to some of the side effects, which are GI. I think we should be getting magnesium in our diets if they're varied and we're getting a lot of healthy food. So I don't know that adding the supplement would be helpful for most people.
One more to you, Dr. Chawla, before I go back to Matt. Any downsides to taking anything that's supposed to help you sleep for an extended period of time?
So while getting good sleep is very important. We want to get, about 7 hours of good restorative sleep, and there's many ways to do that. Most of the medications that are prescribed are intended for short-term use and to help. Really good sleep comes from how we live our days, the things that we're doing during our day. We know there's a lot of evidence about cognitive behavioral therapy and the influence of that on sleep, getting regular exercise, avoiding screen. So we want to get good restorative sleep from other habits and behaviors as opposed to taking things that are going to knock us out, right?
Yeah. And, and Matt, are there any foods that we do know particularly, good idea or not a good idea to eat in proximity to a time when you might need to sleep?
Yeah, generally, when you eat too soon before going to sleep, some people report disturbances with sleep. But on the other hand, sometimes a simple carbohydrate can actually help encourage sleep. So it really comes down to the individual level. And I think sleep is more about your routines and your rituals. And so if people want to have this mocktail with a small dose of magnesium and they think it helps them sleep, the placebo effect is real. So if it helps you sleep, that's cool with me.
Okay, wait, let's stay on this placebo effect thing for just a second. The placebo effect is real. It is, right, Dr. Priyanka Chawla? To some extent, if something is safe and it seems to work for you, even if that's placebo, which means the when you do a randomized controlled trial, somebody gets the medicine, somebody gets a fake. If the fake works, it's working for you, yes? Dr. Chawla? So we may have lost Dr. Chawla. So Matt, I'm going to double down on what you said until we get her back. And I'm going to move on to the next thing, actually. So here's our next trend that we're interested in. And this one has to do, actually, Endless Thread, which is a WBUR podcast, did an episode on this. This is what's called the carnivore diet. It's a wellness trend propagated by meat influencers, and it's about eating meat. So I'm going to give you a little sound. This is Dean Russell and Ben Brock Johnson, who are hosts of Endless Thread, this particular episode, talking to TikToker Jerry Brazy about what you eat on an all-meat diet.
Just to be clear, those are literally the only things that they
That's
eat?
That's it. Beef, butter, bacon, and eggs.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah, 30 to 40 days on that, and you won't believe how good you can.
Okay, I really have trouble believing that it's a good idea to only eat meat products. But Matt Priven, let me turn it to you.
Yeah, I'm on our team here, Tiziana. I don't think it's a great idea to exclusively eat meat, but you know, this is what happens with social media, is you try to promote the extremes, and with nutrition partisanship, if you will, this is the extreme, right? So people are getting a lot of followers. And, you know, getting a lot of clout online by showing their carnivore diet. And so, yeah, that's where we are today. I don't recommend it from a nutrition perspective. You're going to miss out on a lot of wonderful things, especially fiber eating this way. And, you know, I worry about people's cholesterol levels, certainly. But, yeah, this is a common one.
We're speaking with Matt Priven, who's a registered dietitian and nutritionist at Oceanside Nutrition. And I think we have back Dr. Priyanka Chawla, who's a primary
yes.
care physician. There we go, at Tufts Medical Center. And we are breaking down some of the big wellness trends on social media right now. Welcome back, Dr. Chawla. So we're right in the middle of this carnivore diet where you eat a ton of meat. Matt has said, yeah, probably not. So let me ask you the flip side of this. Is there benefit to any particular food sets where it is okay to say, yeah, double down and eat just that, like, I don't know, plants or raw or grains? Is there one out there that for some period of time actually is good for your body and is a good idea?
So if there was one, I think we'd be doing it by now. There's a lot of evidence to support whole food plant-based diets, and I'm saying plant-based doesn't mean to be exclusively plant. There's evidence for the DASH diet and Mediterranean diet, where again, there's a lot of overlap with a lot of vegetables, fruits, whole grains, getting all that great fiber that Matt mentioned. And really a varied and complex diet is so important. And there's more and more data coming out, and the world of, you know, the gut microbiome and the ways that we're going to contribute to that are to be kind of determined. But we really need a varied diet with a lot of plants. And I would not restrict to any one group, because it's that combination and variety that really contributes to our overall health, cardiovascularly and otherwise.
And now that we have you back, I'll finish my question on the placebo effect,
sure.
which is if something is safe and working for you, it's real for you, right?
I agree. The placebo effect can be really helpful, especially for something like anxiety, for sleep. And I think the important thing to know is if there's any other health conditions that come to the table, if there's any harm to those agents. So as long as it's safe and you're getting a placebo effect, then that's wonderful.
All right, let's pick up another one. Matt Priven, this is a video created by a TikTok user, MyFasting.Journey, detailing their experience with a trend called intermittent fasting.
How to do intermittent fasting for dummies. You wake up and you eat absolutely nothing. Then you get on with your day until morning tea time, where you literally just drink tea. Or water if you prefer. But guess what? Still no food. You continue on with your day until it's finally lunchtime. You can go crazy here. Eat as much as you want.
Now, there are a bunch of models for intermittent fasting. So my question to you as a dietitian, is there a model of intermittent fasting that the research shows is a good idea? And if so, what is it?
The research is complicated here, but we have to be real that what we're talking about here is just skipping breakfast. So it's a fancy way of saying skipping breakfast for almost everybody who attempts intermittent fasting. So it's waiting until noon or 1 p.m. to start eating, and it's really just a form of restriction. It's calorie restriction via time restriction as opposed to traditional diets. And so, you know, if we look to the research, there are studies that show some positive health outcomes with intermittent fasting, but I do have concerns about confounding variables. And, you know, I'm a dietitian. I speak to people all day about their eating and how they feel with their eating and how it impacts their health and wellness. And, you know, the vast majority of people I meet feel better when they wake up and they nourish themselves and they keep themselves nourished throughout the day. And so I don't tend to recommend intermittent fasting. I don't do it myself. And I think we just need to be clear that it's not really much beyond simply skipping breakfast for most people.
So Dr. Priyanka Chawla, let's say, so intermittent fasting in general is, you know, you eat within a certain window, only for 8 hours during the day, all your food, or 6 hours. What if you listened to Matt Priven and you said, okay, I'm only going to eat between 7 a.m. and 3 p.m., so now I get my breakfast. What does the science tell us? Is there a benefit to it? And if so, is it only for certain people, or, hey, skip this one and do something healthier?
So as Matt said, it is complicated. There have been a lot of promising studies about intermittent fasting and the effects on weight loss, on energy, and on managing some metabolic conditions. But there's, again, contradictory data and evidence. And my biggest concern is sustainability. So even with some, you know, some data to suggest it could be helpful, in the long run, it might not be a very sustainable model. And my other concern, coming back to the sound clip, is what you're eating during that eight-hour window, that this is not a free-for-all. I think that there are ways to be thoughtful about the hours of the day that we're eating and trying to eat more during the daytime and not so much at night, which is probably a good place to start. But those foods should be those healthy foods, the varied foods, plant-based emphasis. So that's usually my initial reaction, is what are you eating during your window?
And I'm assuming that in any case where you might want to start a wellness change, speak to a professional.
Indeed.
Okay, so lightning round, in a sentence from each of you, one you've seen in social that you want people to stay away from. Dr. Chawla.
So I saw something the other day, and this is where my use of social media
fast.
Is very limited. There was a suggestion to avoid sugar, but it's okay to have salt. That is not a correct recommendation.
Fabulous. And Matt Priven, you?
Food sensitivity testing. It's bogus. Don't do it.
All right. Matt Priven is a registered dietitian at Oceanside Nutrition. Dr. Priyanka Chawla is at Tufts Medical Center. That was great. Thank you so much for the help to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.